Brethren, I'm a baseball fan. I used to like football, but I really don't like it anymore. I'm a baseball fan. More than that, I'm an Astro fan. I loved it when the Astros won the World Series year before last. In fact, Colton is an Astro fan. Many times you'll see he and I up here talking. I'll assure you, we're talking about the Astros. And if I know Colton, he's got an Astro shirt just like I do and an Astro cap. I used to have Astro socks, but they cut off the circulation in my ankle, so I gave them to Linda. She also is an Astro fan. But I am a fan. I'm not a participant. I don't play for the Astros. I root for the Astros. What I like to do is I keep up with the Astros every way that I possibly can. It makes me too nervous to watch them on the television. So what I do is, under the guise of working in my office, I'll put the Astros scorecard up on my computer, put my work in front of it, and then periodically I will drop down and I'll be able to see what the score is. But I state again, I'm not a participant, I'm a fan. Participants play and fans root. I'm a fan, I'm a fan, but I want to be a follower. I sit and watch. Now, listen very closely to this. I make two statements in this lesson that I believe are very, very important. First of all, as a fan, I root. As a participant, I play. Now, having said that, let me say this. Not nearly as much now as used to, but Jesus still has a lot of fans in the world. They come to church like I can go to Minute Maid. It's optional. I can do it if I want to, but if I don't want to, I don't do it. Now, they're really not against Jesus. They're really not defeatists concerning Jesus, but they're not in the game. They root from the sidelines. And Jesus wants us not to be fans. He wants us to be followers. And the difference between being a fan and a follower is the participation. A participant would be called a Christian. That's the difference between a fan and a follower. Fan roots from the sideline. Participant plays in the game. Now, we're going to get buried to change slides here. I've come up with a few quotations from some very successful individuals, Winston Churchill and others, and see if they don't apply to our lesson today. The first one is, opportunities are like sunrises. If you wait too long, you're going to miss them. And the next one says, success is where preparation and opportunity meet. I've got two more. Most people miss the opportunity because it looks like work. And really my favorite is, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. A realist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. And we could go on and on. Now, brethren, you know the Bible as well as I do. God wants us to take advantage of each and every opportunity that comes our way. Jesus said, "The night cometh when the opportunities will cease." We need to take full advantage of each and every opportunity that comes our way. And if you only remember one thing from this lesson, let it be this. We can't afford to get so caught up in life that we miss eternal life. And now we look at the scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul had a tremendous affection for the church in Ephesus. On one of his missionary journeys, he helped establish the congregation there. And he continued to be close to the congregation in letters and also in visits. In chapter 5, beginning with verse 15, Paul writes, "Be careful how you walk." Now, he's not talking about step by step. He's talking about the way we live. Be careful the way you live. Be careful the way you walk. Don't walk as the unwise, but walk as the wise, using the best use of time, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Rather, understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, notice this next slide. Brethren, we have been given a mission. I call it Mission Possible, because God has not only given us this mission through Jesus, but he's also given us everything we need to accomplish this mission. We need, as Jesus says, to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We need to shine his light on the darkness of the world. We need to allow our life to be a testimony of the light that is within us. And over the generations, God has time and time and time again told us in the Bible about relationships that he has built with his children. The incarnation was a relationship that God built with his children. The incarnation is more than just words alone. You remember John introduces the Word. He introduces deity. He introduces Jesus at the beginning of his gospel account. And in verse 14, he said, deity became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So Christ became flesh and gave us a reason to live. However, doesn't it always seem like there's a however? However, much of the world is just not interested in Jesus. I don't know if you saw this. We recently swore in the new House of Representatives. And a statement was made, and I have no reason to disbelieve it, but concerning the new House of Representatives, there are less professing Christians in the new House of Representatives than at any time in the history of the United States. Brethren, we can forget about government trying to protect our spiritual freedoms. Less and less people are interested in Jesus Christ. In fact, more and more are openly rejecting Jesus and his teaching in the New Testament. And the real sad thing is, if you and I publicly defend Jesus, we get criticized, we get lawsuits, but other people can reject Jesus and nobody seems to say a thing. Now, I want to say something that's going to sound very, very judgmental on the surface, and it is judgmental on the surface. However, wait till you hear my summation. Many in the world who do not reject Jesus, many in the world who claim to embrace Jesus, are the ones that you and I need to seek first. They don't reject him. They don't despise him. They don't openly speak against him. Those are the ones that we have the best opportunity to seek and save, because the foundation of faith has already been laid in their heart. And what you and I need to do, Luke 17 verse 5, we need to help them increase their faith. Now brethren, realize this. Jesus loved the unlovable, and the lovable as well. But Jesus loved the unlovable. He forgave the unforgivable, and us as well. And he also reached out to the untouchable. And that's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. Now, our next slide is going to have a heart-touching question. And I designed this question to touch your heart, go in your ears, circulate in your brain, and end up in your heart. Brethren, how do you picture Jesus in your life? When you picture Jesus in your heart, do you really realize all that he has done for us? Do we even have the ability to fully comprehend and understand and to appreciate what he has done? But if we do, and I believe we do, not only do we need to appreciate him, we need to emulate him. We need to pattern our lives around him. If we call him Lord, if we call him Savior, if we call him Master and King, then we also need to emulate him in our lives. He is the only begotten of the Father, and he is our only hope to be saved. We're called to conform to his image. John says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Now, admittedly, that is a tremendous assignment. But brethren, he's given us the power to do it. Do you remember when Jesus had risen from the grave before he ascended back into heaven, Acts chapter 1? Do you remember what he told his disciples? He said, "Wait for the power. Wait in Jerusalem for the power." Excuse me. "Wait for the promise." I got ahead of myself. "Wait for the promise." He was talking about the power that would be manifest on the day of Pentecost just a few days later. Wait for the power. The same power to which Paul referred when he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to save to everyone that believes." Jesus gave them a mission, and he gave them the power to accomplish the mission. Now, don't be surprised when I say this. He's given us the same mission. And he's given us the same power, though we get his power through his word. Therefore, we need to be participants, not just fans rooting on the sideline. We need to be actively involved. We need to let God work in us and through us and with us. We are to be men and women of action. We're to be men and women of faith. We're to be men and women of the cross. That is our assignment, to have active, saving faith. And let the world see it. The politicians are not going to help us. We must do it ourselves. I found this interesting illustration. You might have to think about it a little bit. That's fine. There was a man that once told his wife he doesn't ever want to be in a vegetative state on some machine. He said, "If I'm ever in a vegetative state, unplug the machine." So she went over and unplugged the television. Brethren, we need to unplug from the world and plug into Jesus. I don't know if I've ever used that phraseology before. I don't know if I've ever heard that phraseology before, but it's true. We need to pull the plug on the world and plug into Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is our Master. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And if anyone saves our soul, it is him. He has a purpose in our life, and he wants us to fulfill that purpose. And the last slide. We need to live to love. And love to live. And we can only do that in Jesus. And we can only do that in Jesus. We can only do that in Jesus. And there's only one way to get into Jesus. And that is to be born again. My favorite illustration, and perhaps I use it a little too much, is found in John chapter 3. There was a ruler of the people called Nicodemus. Nicodemus obviously has heard Jesus preach. He is touched by his preaching. He comes to Jesus asking Jesus about salvation. But he comes by night for fear of the Jews. And Jesus says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, thinking physical thoughts, said, Jesus, how can I enter again into my mother's tummy and be born again? Jesus wasn't talking about a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. We must be born of the water and the spirit, the teaching of Jesus, the waters of baptism where we contact his blood, Romans 6, verse 3. That's the only way into Jesus. That's the only way to secure our salvation. So perhaps there are some here today that need to respond in order to be baptized. Perhaps there are some here today that need to respond for some other reason. Jesus is the one that calls. If for any reason you need to come, won't you do so now as we stand and sing number 634. Won't you come if you need to?